Jerry, we're beginning here on the top of Alpha Manala by the two dots. As you mentioned yesterday, the sugya today is extremely complicated and really starts from the beginning of the Braita that we brought yesterday. And just to review and put it in perspective to understand the number of different approaches that are taken to the Braita. The Braita brings a scenario in which you have a gdia, a goat, that is giving birth to three children. And then those three children each gave birth to three children. So you have a grandmother, the middle generation, and then the granddaughters. Rashi notes over here that they picked the Gdiyim because they have multiple births. So therefore, it wouldn't be surprising or unusual that they would have more than one offspring in a single birth. And number two, they are all females in order to avoid the problem of Kedushat Bechor. They have Kedushat Bechor. Bechor is Patur Min HaMaser. And so therefore, it just discussed females all the way along. So that way, all of these animals would be Uyo to be Maser. Braita says that those offspring can all be brought together in a single Maser Behema. And therefore, you have a possibility of the same family within the 1 year of Maser Behema. Maser Behema lasts from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Rosh Chodesh Elul. Within that 1 year, there's a possibility that all of these offspring would be in the same corral for Maaser. And then Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, Ani re'iti shi isra b'toch shnata. I saw such a situation, such an instance, where they were all together in the same year. Then the Gemara went off to discuss, why do I need that they have three daughters? And then each of the daughters has three granddaughters. Because then you have a total of 12. Why can't I make it that it is three from one daughter, and then two and two from the other daughters, and then you'd have 10 instead of 12? Gemara said, parallel structure. You want to have three from each of them. Then the Gemara went back and said, why do you need that at all? Why don't you have all of them have two? It'll be parallel structure. And that'll give you 9. 3 daughters plus 6 granddaughters. That's 9. And the 10th one will be provided by the grandmother, who gave birth already to the 3 daughters, who will give birth again in that year to a 4th daughter in her second birthing of the year. And that'll make up your number 10. To which the Gemara says, well, maybe from here you can prove that min hatefet, if you have a miscarriage, then you can't give birth again in that same year. The Gemara in the end rejects that and says, you can't conclude that because there's a difference between miscarriage and birth. There's a significant difference. And even if you believe that you can have a miscarriage and give birth again in that same year, if you give birth, you may not be able to give birth again in the same year. That's the basic structure of the Braita. Now, the questions that arise, which really lead to the different explanations that we have here are, number one, what is the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? That's going to be in the Gemara's first question today after the two dots. What's the nafkamina between Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? The second question that you have to address in the Braita is what is meant by Toch Shnata? What does it mean in its year? Until now, in the Gemara, when we say Toch Shnata, we were speaking within the year, the first year of the life of any given animal. Over here we're speaking about an aes. So in the first year of that animal, it can't give birth twice. Or if it miscarries, it won't give birth again. So that is the meaning of Toch Shnata until this point. There's another possibility of Toch Shnata, meaning that within the year of Maaser. Doesn't mean that Toch Shnata of the given animal that is giving birth over here, in this instance, the grandmother, it's not in the first year of her life. Just means within a year of Maaser, you can have such a scenario play out in which you have all of the offspring end up in the same corral. So those are the basic questions. Rashi over here brings two different pshatim to the Braita. And obviously they have enough nafkamina on how we read the whole Gemara. The first one, which is the one that we discussed yesterday, is that Toch Shnata over here is different than the Toch Shnata that we've seen until this point in time. Toch Shnata that we mentioned with Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva before, meant in the first year of the animal's life. The Toch Shnata over here means within 1 year of that animal's life. Doesn't have to be the first year of your life. It just means the year of Maaser. And that's what means Toch Shnata. And Rashi, the top Rashi in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, makes that very clear that that is the situation. Rashi then explains the whole scenario in the following manner. There are actually two versions of the Rashi. There's a Rashi over here that starts on Chaf Amud Bet, that starts with the Divrei Matzkel Gedia, goes all the way through onto Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph until in the middle of Rabbi Shimon, late Ziri, where Rashi says Perush Acher, and he brings a second Perush. And then if you go down to the middle of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the word Hatanya appears again, which is a reference either back to the Brayta or doesn't belong here. Many of the Rishonim take it out. And then Rashi has, from there to the bottom, the same seemingly pshat with little nuanced differences. So we're going to explain again that version of Rashi. That version of Rashi really has two nuanced versions because of the first version before the Perush Acher and the version after the Perush Acher. Rashi in that explanation says that the Brayta is telling us that within 1 year of a year of Maser, it could be that the daughters would have offspring during that year, and therefore you'll have daughters and granddaughters that can be aggregated into a single corral and will make up the Maser of that year. So that's the basic idea. Now, Rashi explains it in the following manner. Of course, that should be plausible. Of course, that should be possible. Because, obviously, if you have the grandmother who gives birth, for instance, on Rosh Chodesh Elul. On Rosh Chodesh Elul, she has her three daughters. From Rosh Chodesh Elul till the following Rosh Chodesh Elul is 12 months. Within that 12-month period, it's very plausible that those three daughters would then have granddaughters. There's nothing surprising about that. And there's really no even question that would relate to our Gemara as to how often you can give birth within a single year, or all the things of gestation. 12 months is a very long time. First of all, 30 days after the daughters are born, they can become pregnant. And then they have a gestation of 5 months. It takes 6 months for them to have a baby. Even if they wait 3 months, they'll still be within that same year. There's nothing surprising, there's nothing unusual about that. So Rashi has to add in an additional factor here, which is not mentioned in the Gemara, and the Chazon Ish calls it Divrei Neviut. It's something that I don't know where Rashi got it from, but in order to make it complex and explain the question that the Gemara asked on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, Rashi writes the following: V'kamari kagon shetinfu abanot biyom acharon shel shisha chodeshim. It's a case where those daughters miscarried on the last day of the 6 month Leleidatan to their birth. And that's what enters into the question and why it relates to our previous Gemara, which is that the grandmother gave birth to the three daughters, for instance, on Rosh Chodesh Elul. A month later, those daughters became pregnant. Sometime during that period, they miscarried. Rashi calls it at the end of the 6th month. They miscarried at the end of the 6th month. Now, they only have 6 months left of that year until the next Rosh Chodesh Elul. Within those 6 months, as Rashi notes, they can, first of all, wait the month that is requisite for the amount of time that you need in order to get pregnant again after a miscarriage, plus the 5 months of gestation. You just make it under the wire of the 6 months. So that's how Rashi explains over here that Nimtzu di'aldu b'yom acharon shel shnatan, that they basically give birth on the last day of their year of their life. Meaning that not their grandmother's life, but the mother's life, that last day of their first year of their life, they give birth to the granddaughters, and therefore they and their daughters, which are the daughters and the granddaughters, will end up in the same corral for Maser. That's how Rashi explains it. And in this explanation, there is no difference between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon. Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon both believe that that all happened within the same year, and all the factors are the same. That's why the Gemara is about to ask, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanna Kamma? The problems with that shot in Rashi, number one, is the fact that, how did he come up with this thing that they miscarried in their year of Maaser? The Gemara, the Brayta, no, it doesn't mention it at all. Could be that they got it from Lema Kasavar, Mitanefet, Enochuzeret Violet, Mitok Shnata. That question of the Gemara presupposes that there was a miscarriage that took place. Well, when did that happen? So Rashi speculates it happened at the end of the 6th month. Shitim Kubetzin says, Tzarech Perush the Perush Show. Rashi's Perush needs additional Perush. Here the Shumhaki Naka the Sovav. Why did he say it happened at the end of the 6th month, later time? The Batsim Hacha, Inu Yecholo Litanif. You can't miscarry before that period in time. Shitim Kubetzin is making an assumption that you can only miscarry at that point in time. Not sure why you can only miscarry at that point in time, especially if you think you could give birth to a live birth at that time, why can't you miscarry before the Tema time? That's one problem with Apshat. The second problem with Apshat is that if it happens on the last day of the sixth month, then 1 month later is the last day of the seventh month. And then if 5 months later they reach full gestation, that is the last day of the year. And we said before, they only give birth on the day after the completion of the 5 months. That's already into the next year. So those are two major issues with that explanation of Rashi. Rashi later on, when again I said he explains this Gemara again, and there are slight nuances between them. At first, when he explains it again, it says, "Vinit abru l'sof shisha chodushim." They became pregnant at the end of 6 months, which is similar to what he said before. But then he said, "Kagon shetinfu abanot l'sof shisha l'leidatan," that they miscarried at the end of their 6 months, "bitchilat chodesh hashvi," in the beginning of the seventh month, which means on the first day of the seventh month. And then if you have 1 month later is the first day of the eighth month, 5 months later is the first day of the next year. So you're already over the threshold. So in this case, Rashi recognizes the problem that you're already into the next year, and that creates a problem. The truth is, in the first Rashi, it should be a problem, because Rashi before stipulated that you only give birth the day after the gestation is done. Over here, Rashi seems to assume that that's not the case, and that he gives birth on that last day. Over here, where he switches it to be Tefillat Chodesh Shvi'i, already now you're into the next year, 1 day into the next year, or 2 days into the next year already, at that point, and now you have a problem, because how do you get them into the same year? So Rashi then says, Ishtakach delo yaldu ad yom echad b'shana shniyah. Based on that, they're only giving birth in 1 day into the next year. Umishkachada afilu hachi, ichnasot yachad dir imahot ubanot, chutz min azkena. Nevertheless, you could still have it that the daughters and granddaughters end up in the same corral for Maser, not the grandmother. Kagon, in an instance, Shaita Shana Mi'uberet. It was a leap year. In a leap year from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Rosh Chodesh Elul, you have 13 months. So now you have room to maneuver, because then when they have their children, I mean the daughters have the granddaughters, it actually happens on Rosh Chodesh Av, and not Rosh Chodesh Elul of the next year, because you have an extra month in there. The Yom Echad B'Shana Shniya Shalem Adayin Rosh Chodesh Av. Because 1 day into their next year of 12 months turns out to be Rosh Chodesh Av in a leap year. And that's still included in that year. Or therefore, he is able to then get them into the same year. That is the one explanation of Rashi. So if you combine the two versions of Rashi, basically the explanation is Tok Shana means within 1 year, the daughters and granddaughters can end up in the same corral. That's number one. Number two is that there was a miscarriage that happened in the middle that made it a little bit edgy as to how we get them in. That miscarriage pushed off the birth for those daughters of the granddaughters. In the first instance, Rashi explained it simply that it happened at the end of the 6 month, and therefore it would be the last day of the year when they gave birth. There are some questions about that, both from the perspective of why do you have to pick the last day of the 6 month? Could have been in the middle of the 6 month. Shita Mikubetz, it speculates because maybe you can't have a miscarriage before the 6 month. It's hard to understand why that is necessarily true, because a miscarriage could happen before it goes to full term, and even if you have to wait a month or 2 months, it still could have had a miscarriage before that point in time. And the other issue is that we said before that it's usually the day after you complete the gestation that it gives birth, not the last day of the gestation. So both of those are problems. In the second version, Rashi solves those problems by first of all making it the first day of the seventh month, and then saying that it's a leap year, and therefore we have plenty of time to get in the daughters, to have the granddaughters, and that's how they come out in one single year. And now the question of the Gemara is going to be, okay, Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama are saying the same thing. How do we distinguish between them? What's the difference between them? That's the first explanation of Rashi. Rashi brings a Perush Acher. And in the Perush Acher, he explains that Tok Shnata means literally the same way we explained earlier, means in within the year of the life of the mother. And that is that the Gdia that is born in that year, it could turn out that the Maser of that year could include both her daughters and her granddaughters, which means that the Gdia was born on Rosh Chodesh Elul, the grandmother. She has to wait a month to become pregnant, 5 months of gestation. Now she gives birth to her triplets, her three daughters. That is 6 months into this year. Those three daughters now have to wait their requisite month. And then 5 months later, they could give birth to their triplets. And therefore, you would have it that within the first year of life of the grandmother, it's a possibility that the daughters and the granddaughters end up in the same corral. So then Rashi over here assumes that the grandmother is not included in that count, because the Gemara seems to note that that's the whole point. The grandmother's not in that number. And Rashi says, I don't like that shot because I don't understand. What I don't understand is if the mother was born on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then she had the daughters 6 months later, and then her daughters also had children 6 months later, why can't the mother herself also have another child? The Gemara said that the mother can't have another child. So the answer to that might be that's the difference between Tinfa and Yoledet. But over here, we're not dealing with Tinfa. We're not dealing with any miscarriage. We're dealing with the fact that they were born at 6 month point and have to wait the requisite month. And so too, the mother seems to have to wait a month. And Rashi says, that's what I don't understand. Lashon ze eino ikar. This language doesn't make sense. The ika pircha. There's a huge problem with it. The man de daikbeid, the benot, heche mishkachalu diodu betok shnatan. How did the daughters give birth within that year? When they became pregnant 30 days after they were born, and then they give birth 5 months later on the last day of the year. Then the mother could have the same scenario. The grandmother could have the same scenario and give birth again in that same year. So because of that, Rashi says, I don't like this pshat, because just like the daughters who are born on the 6 month could give birth before the end of the year, so to the mother should be able to be recharged and then have another child in that same year. And the fact that it doesn't work out that way seems to mean that this doesn't work, because why should there be one din for the grandmother and one din for the daughters? The answer might be that the daughters didn't have a birth. They're coming from standing zero, so they just have to wait a month, and then they become pregnant, and then they have it, have the babies later. As the Gemara pointed out, when you have birth, birth is a significantly larger trauma that maybe even Zairi's din of 30 days won't apply. You maybe even need more than 30 days in order for it to recover and have the baby. And maybe that would be the difference, and that would solve the problem of Rashi. So that is Rashi's second shot that he brings down, that he rejects. Now, that rejection by Rashi is interesting because other Rishonim have a different pshat over here and actually bring down that view of Rashi in a nuanced fashion or a slightly different way. If you look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, it's the easiest way to see it. In the Rabbeinu Gershom, he brings the first pshat of Rashi. He says, Shnehem Shavin, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon agree, that the grandmother isn't included in the corral. They miscarried in the 7 month of their life, and then they get the requisite 30 days. And then if it was on the beginning of the 7th month, then when they wait their requisite 5 months, this means that they're not going to give birth until the beginning of the next year. Hilkach lo amar Tanakama bitoch shana. That's why the Tanakama doesn't say it can happen in the same year. Or what the Rabbeinu Gershom is pointing out is exactly what Rashi is about to say is the nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, which is, can it happen in a single year? Okay, we'll get to that in 1 minute. That's the first shot. The Rabbeinu Gershom then brings a second pshat, but unlike Rashi, he doesn't bring it as the explanation of the full Braita, meaning the explanation of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, but actually brings it as the nafkamina between them. Ve'itim ifarish. Some explain, Rabbi Shimon damar ani ra'iti gdiya she'isra betoch shnata. I saw a goat that had the maser within its year. Kasavar de gdiya v'abanot. Vabanot, bnot shana achatein, v'nichnasot imahem lehitaser. Rabbi Shimon's chiddush is, not only do the daughters and granddaughters, are they in the same year, but even the grandmother is the same year, and they are all in one maser. So the lo mistaber hachi, he says, I don't think that's right. Chado, kash, mandamar, maika ben tanakam of the Rabbi Shimon. Then why do you have to ask, what's the difference between the tanakam and Rabbi Shimon? There's a huge nafkamina between them, which is whether the grandmother is counted in the corral or not counted in the corral. Ah, because chazina, the Rabbi Shimon, vayiz kena badayu. The tanakam alo bayi. Vod kashali, shmaita de lehel, sabri de Rabbi Yeshua. And it also then is difficult with the Gemara before that seems to be following the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua. So the Rabbeinu Gershon brings an alternative to Rashi's explanation. And the Shita Mikubetzet in O Dalit actually brings a quote from Tosafot's version of Rashi. And Tosafot's version of Rashi, which is that Perish Acher, is very similar to the Rabbeinu Gershon, which is that not that everybody agrees that the grandmother goes into the corral, but that etzim is the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakama says you can only count the daughters and granddaughters in that corral. The grandmother doesn't get into the corral with them. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says the grandmother gets in the corral with the daughters and the granddaughters. And the difference between them is that tokshnata. The tokshnata, according to the Rabbi Shimon, means within the first year of life of the grandmother, all of them can end up in the same corral. Whereas the Tanakama says that is impossible. The problem then is, why does the Gemara ask my nafkamina between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama? We already have a nafkamina. So then you would have to explain that my nafkamina that we're about to read now in the Gemara is not what is the difference between them, but as to the underlying reason that you have a difference in opinion between them. We already have a difference in opinion. Question is, what triggered or what precipitated that difference in opinion? So now, that gives you an alternative shot over here as to the Braita and as to what's happening in the Braita. And now, the Gemara asks, and then we'll explain it according to the different shatim. Amar Rabbi Shimon, ani ra'iti gdia, ma'ika ben Tanakama the Rabbi Shimon. What is the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon? Ika beinayu de zi'iri. The nafkamina between them is this din of zi'iri, that the goats wait 30 days before they're willing to become pregnant, be mounted, or to get pregnant after they've miscarried or given birth. Tanakama itle de zi'iri. Tanakama holds of zi'iri. Rabbi Shimon late de zi'iri. Rabbi Shimon doesn't have zi'iri's pshat. So now let me work through it with the version that we just saw in the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Tosafot, which is that the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon are arguing before we ever get to this Gemara over here. They're arguing about whether the grandmother can be included in the corral or not included in the corral. The problem is, the grandmother, if she was born on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then she waits her requisite 30 days, and then 5 months of gestation, she gives birth at the end of 6 months, or basically on the first day of the seventh month. Then if you wait the requisite 30 days, and then another 5 months, she's now going to give birth again. Or the daughters who are giving birth to the granddaughters are going to give birth on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul again, basically the first day of the next year. So they can't be included in 1 year. That's the whole problem here. Whether you think it's the last day of the sixth month or the first day of the seventh month, that will depend on whether you think that the baby is born on the last day of gestation or the next day of gestation. But either way, you're going to have it that the granddaughters were born a day after the year completed for the grandmother. So they can't be included. So that's exactly what the Tanakhama says. The Tanakhama never mentions the word Tokshnata. Rabbi Shimon says it can all happen in the same year. Well, how can it happen in the same year based on the framework we just laid out? The answer to that is the difference between them is Zi'iri. According to the Tanakhama, subscribes to Zi'iri. So he requires that full 30-day window. Therefore, it's going to push the granddaughters into the next year. And you can't have the grandmother, daughters, and granddaughters all in the same Meiser year, because he holds of Zi'iri. Therefore, the Tanakhama's explanation is not that it is the grandmother, mother, and granddaughters, but rather just the daughters and granddaughters that are in the same Meiser year, because that's a situation in which the grandmother could have given birth to those daughters, and then those daughters have a whole year in which they can give birth to the granddaughters, and even if they miscarried in the middle, you could still fit it in so that they get in that year. That's the explanation of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold of Zairi, has more flexibility now because it's less than 30 days. That way he can have the grandmother, mother, and granddaughters all in the same year because he doesn't have that requisite waiting period of 30 days of Zairi. So even if you have to wait 30 days before it can come pregnant when it's first born, still you don't have to wait 30 days after it gave birth or in order for it to have other children. That would be the explanation according to this version of the Rabbeinu Gershom. It's also brought by the Balei Tosafot as being what Rashi brought in the Perush Acher, that there's already, Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama are already arguing before we get to this point in the Gemara. They're arguing about whether it can happen in 1 year and the grandmother can be included or not included. The reason that they're arguing about that is because of Zairi. Do you hold of Zairi or do you not hold of Zairi? That explanation is pretty straightforward. Obviously, the difficulty is, why is the Gemara saying my nafkamina? We already know the nafkamina. The Gemara's question should be, but my kamiflagate. What are they arguing about, rather than my nafkamina? But that's exactly what they read it as. The my nafkamina is, but my kamiflagate. What is the shorish hamachloket between them? According to Rashi Pshat, where the Tok Shnata means within the year of the Meiser year, and not the year of the grandmother's life, so then you had these daughters that were born on Rosh Chodesh Elul. They miscarried at the end of the 6th month or the beginning of the 7th month, depending on the 2 versions of Rashi. And then they have their granddaughters born within that Meiser year. And now we said that both Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama hold that that is plausible and that's the same. And now the Gemara wants to know, my nafkamina. What's the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama? They both think this is plausible. They both think that these children and grandchildren are going to be born in the same year. Either according to the first version of Rashi, because that happened on the miscarriage of the last day of the 6th month. According to the second version of Rashi, because the miscarriage happened on the first day of the 7th month, but it's a leap year. Either way, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon think you can successfully get the daughters and granddaughters, even after that miscarriage, into the same year. So then, the question of the Gemara makes sense. My nafkamina, what's the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama? The answer is Zairi. Okay, but they already are in the same year. What do you need Zairi for? But the difference between them is a nuance in the Lashon, which is the Braita says about the Tanakhama that they're all niknasot the deer leitaser. Rabbi Shimon says, I saw it, shiyisra b'toch shnata. And what Rashi says, or what the way Rashi explains it is, that b'hai toch shnata, that when we're explaining toch shnata over here, it means not on the last day of the year. It means toch shnata means you have room. You have some buffer in there. So the difference between them is, can this only happen if it happens on the last day of the year? That's the Tanakhama's view, because he holds up Zairi, and therefore he needs full gestation of 5 months, plus a third 30 days. This is only going to happen if they miscarried on the last day of the 6th month, or in a case where it's in the beginning of the 7th month, then it's only going to happen on the last day of the year that this is going to work out. Toch Shnatan, which Rabbi Shimon says is that I have some buffer. It could be 2 days before, 10 days before the end of the year. That can only be true if he doesn't hold of Zairi. And that'll be the nafkamina between them, is whether it only can happen exactly on the last day of the year that this will work out, or do I have room? Toch shnata. It happens sometime during that year. Doesn't have to happen on the last day because I don't have all that waiting time that you need for Zairi. I don't subscribe to that. And therefore, I could have it work out that even 1, 2, 10 days before the end of the year, that the daughters and granddaughters will end up in the same corral for Maser. So that would be then the nafkamina between them, according to that version of Rashi. And then, in the second view of Rashi, where he says that it was a leap year, then the nafkamina between them is not whether it was a little buffer or no buffer, but what type of year it was. According to the Tanakhama, it will only work out in a leap year that this could take place, because he has the Zairi, which forces him a day into the next year. And therefore, only in a leap year will it work out. Whereas for Rabbi Shimon, it could be mitoch shnata. It could be inside a very regular year. He could have it work out because he doesn't subscribe to Zairi. And therefore, toch shnata, in that case, would mean within the year of a regular year, I could have this work out that the daughters and the granddaughters were in the same corral. That is the 2 different versions of Rashi. Again, we saw that Rashi saw this as being 2 different versions entirely, meaning that one version that explained the Shimon and the Tanakhama as speaking about the daughters and granddaughters, and another version that spoke about the grandmother, daughters, and granddaughters. Rashi rejected that 2nd version because Just like the daughters can give birth again in that year, why can't the grandmother give birth again in that year? He rejected it. We then saw that the Rabbeinu Gershom has a version, and then the Shita Mikubetz, it also brings this as the version in Rashi, that there is another view, which is that is exactly the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama. The Tanakama is the first version in Rashi, and Rabbi Shimon is that second version in Rashi, and that's actually the difference between them. And then we just explain now what it means, Ma'ika Benayu. What's Ika Benayu? According to the view that this is all the Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama say the exact same thing, then we understand the Gemara's question, and then the Nafkamina between them is Toch Shnata, that Diuk in the Lashon of Rabbi Shimon in the Braita, which then leads you, according to the first version of Rashi, that he could have it happen in the same year with buffer, whereas the Tanakama could only have it happen on the last day of the year. Or in that second version of the first version of Rashi, the Tanakama would require a leap year. Rabbi Shimon would not require a leap year. He could have it Tok Shnata. The Ika Benayu, according to the second version of Rashi, at least according to the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shita Mikubetz's view, which is the machloket between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon, was about exactly this, which is it the grandmother included or not included? Then the Nafkamina is whether the grandmother is included. The Ika Benayu then is, what are they arguing about? How can you get the grandmother in or not get the grandmother in? That answer is that is Ziri. If you hold the Ziri, you can't get the grandmother in. If you don't hold the Ziri, then you could get the grandmother in. Okay, so that gives you a broad perspective on the different views of the Rishonim over here. The other thing that the Baal Yatos will deal with is something that Rashi somewhat tiptoes around, but becomes a serious problem. Rashi keeps saying that Ziri requires 30 days, and then gestation of the Gedi is 5 months. Now, he says it's 5 30-day months. 5 30-day months and 30 days of Ziri means you have 6 months at 30 days. That's 180 days. The issue that you have, and this is what the Baal Yatos will point out, is Rashi's assuming that we have 180 days. Well, let me figure out, which year are you speaking about? Tosh Shnata, when you say within its year, are you speaking about within the lunar year or the solar year? Which of the two are you speaking about when you speak about a year for the life of this animal? So again, if you're talking about Tosh Shnata Maser, then it's clear. It's from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Rosh Chodesh Elul, there's nothing to speak about. But if you're speaking about the animal's first year of life, then what is exactly the scenario that we're speaking about? Is it a solar year? Well, if it's a solar year is 365 days. And if you take 180 days, like Rashi is saying, 180 days plus 180 days is 360 days, you have plenty of room to get in two cycles of birth here, even with Ziri. Why are we talking about the last day of the year? Why are we talking about rolling over into the next year? You got plenty of room to deal with it. Okay, so then you say, no, we're dealing with a lunar year. Problem with the lunar year is it's 354 days. A lunar year, you're not going to get it in. You have 180 days, and then another 180 days, you're 360, you're a week into the next year already. You're not even a close call. So which of the two is Rashi speaking about? That's what the Baal Yatos would ask, because Rashi uses this standard days 30-day month, and that's not really going to work out, not in a solar year and not in a lunar year. Therefore, the Baal Yatos suggests that the months that we're speaking about here are lunar months. Or in essence, each one is 29 and a half days long, and that's how you would get it to be within the lunar year and have be either a day over or a day before, depending on which it's on the last day of the sixth of the month or the first day of the seventh month and when you think the birth takes place. But Tosfot says you have to say the months we're speaking about here are lunar months and not 30-day standard months. And that's because otherwise you're going to run yourself into a problem of fitting it into a year. It's either going to really fit well into a solar year, it's not going to fit at all into a lunar year. The only way to have it work is that if those 6 months or the months of Ziri are actually counted not based on the 30-day month cycles, but 29 and a half day cycles, and then it'll work out in the lunar year that you would have that number because you have 6 times 29 and a half, which is basically 180 minus 3, which is 177. So if you have 2 times 177, that's 354. That's what Tosafot does just to deal with it. Rashi, in some ways, in his second version of the first version, deals with that by making it a lunar leap year to deal with that. Although, even in a lunar leap year, you should have a lot of buffer, but then his view in Rabbi Shimon is difficult, because he says Rabbi Shimon doesn't need the lunar leap year. He says it in a regular, I can fit it all in. It's just not true. If you think there are 30-day months, he still needs 360 days, and a lunar year only has 354 days. The number two question is, why can't this kena? Why can't grandmother be included in the corral if it is a leap year? If it's a leap year, you have plenty of buffer for the grandmother to be born on Rosh Chodesh Elul. They have to have the daughters and granddaughters be born, and she could be included in that same year, because now you have plenty of room. So there, the Shita Mekubetz, it also says, Afilu b'shana mi'uberet, the grandmother cannot be included. She'atzaricha shetei bat shloshim kodem shetitaber. She has to be at least 30 days old before she can become pregnant. Not sure how that solves the problem, because that's what we've been assuming all along. There's a 30-day buffer, 5 months of gestation. If that's the case, then if she was born on Rosh Chodesh Elul and in a leap year, you should be able to fit her in. So the Shita Mekubetz is trying to explain that. That's also a difficulty in the second version of Rashi's first version over here. It's once you make it a leap year, why can't you get the grandmother in? It should be able to get it in. The Shita Mekubetz himself is trying to explain that and notes many of these difficulties in Ot Yud Bet. And therefore he concludes, L'hachi lo mishkakala the Peir Shita the Kuntris. According to Rashi's explanation, I really can't understand it. Perisha Tosfot Ikar. And what the Tosfot said makes more sense, meaning that you don't need a leap year, you use 29 and a half day months rather than the 30 day months, and then you don't run into all this problem of having to run into a leap year. And that's why Tosfot favors heavily saying that the months here are months determined by Chodshei HaLevana. Right now, the Gemara continues and says, well, maybe that's not the machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama. All of this, I'm going to just explain it simply, but all of this goes back to everything we explained until now. So just like we just saw the nafkamina ziri, the other possibilities are these nafkaminos. Everybody holds a ziri, that there's a 30-day window that you need to wait. The question is, do you have to wait a full 5 whole months for gestation, or can you have a gestation that is under 5 months? The Tana Kama, any of the Yoledet the Mekutaim. According to the Tana Kama, you can't give birth unless you go to the full 5 month gestation. Therefore, there's no buffer. You're running over into the next year. And that's why, according to all the different Pshatim, we have to do something to figure out what's happening over here. Rabbi Shimon, Yoledet. According to Rabbi Shimon, I have room because you can give birth less than 5 months. It's going to be 4.5 months into gestation. Therefore, I have a couple of days of buffer, which will allow all this to take place. Again, this is similar to what we discussed in the Nafkaminot in the Shita of Rabbi Yoshua, where we brought all these Nafkaminot. These are the same Nafkaminot. Everybody holds that it goes to full term, 5 months, and it doesn't give birth before that. And here they argue about whether if in the situation that we had set up, the problem was a 1 day overlap into the next year. If you say mixa yom kikulo, then you can solve your problem. Because instead of it giving birth on the first day of the next year, it could give birth on the last day of the previous year. Because halfway through that day, it's completed the month of Ziri, the 5 months of pregnancy. Halfway through that day, you're done. And then it could give birth. I mean, it's as if it's already gone to the next day, and therefore it could be within that same year. Or the 30 days of Ziri that require you to wait a requisite 30 days, and then the animal comes pregnant. Maybe it's 29 and a half days. Then the animal comes pregnant, and then 5 months later it gives birth. Well, that 5 months later now will be a day earlier than we thought, because at 29 and a half days already it became pregnant. So that's if he holds Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, Rabbi Shimon once again has buffer to move 1 day back, and that will solve your problem, versus the Tanakhama, who says that we don't hold the Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. And Tanakama lo Marina Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, therefore he runs over into next year. Rabbi Shimon Arminan, Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, and therefore you have a little more buffer where you can keep it within that same year. Again, according to all the different pshatim that we gave until now. Vibai Dema. So now we bring another nafkamina that was not brought with regards to the Shito of Rabbi Yeshua, which is the Kuliyama Arminan, Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. Everybody holds Mitzvah Yom Kikulo. That means that both Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama could fit this all into 1 year. Either according to the first version of Rashi, that means the daughters and granddaughters, after the daughters miscarried in the middle of their first year of the Meiser year, they could still have the granddaughters be born and all go into the corral together. Because we have Mitzvah Yom Kikulo, we have some buffer and it'll all end up in the same year. Or according to the second version in Rashi, with the perspective of the Rabbeinu Gershom and the Shita Mekubetzet, the situation is where the grandmother, the mothers, and the granddaughters all end up in the same year, is because Mitzvah Yom Kula, we have some buffer at the end of the year, which will bring it into that year. So everybody agrees that they all were born in the same Meiser year, or in the first year of the life of the grandmother. But Hocha, the problem is, the question is from this week's Parsha, Parshat Emor, where the Torah says, Vayash Shivat Yamim Tachat Imo, the animal has to remain 7 days with its mother. It says that on the eighth day, then it is ra'oi to go on the Mizbeach. That is the question here, which is the machloke between them, is about when you have an animal in its first 7 days, is it ra'oi to be part of Maaser or not? In a regular korban, there's no question that in the first 7 days, you are not allowed to be mikadesh. He says that it's only once the 8th day comes around that you can be mikadesh. If you are mikadesh in the first 7 days, what happens is not exactly clear. Rashi over here says that if you're mikadesh, it fails. It doesn't work at all. Mishlamim, she'en yachol akdisha mechusar zman. She'en kedusha chala alehen. He says that you have no capacity to makdish it. Whether that means it goes to chulin, or does that mean that it becomes kedushat tamim instead of kedushat mizbeach, it's not clear. But Rashi over here makes that point. Doesn't work in the first 7 days. And Tosfot over here seems to say the same thing. He says that the Gemara in Tmura that says you can't be mikadesh an animal before the 7 days is relying on our Gemara over here, and that's talking about Maaser Behema. Aval Bishar Kodeshim, Modeh Afilu Rabbi Shimon. And other Kodeshim, Rabbi Shimon agrees. But if you look in the Gemara in Tmura, the Tosfot in Tmura actually says that you can't be mikadesh Kodeshim before the 7 days, even though it's a violation to do such. And if you do that, then the question here is not whether it's kadosh, because all kodoshim are kadosh. The question is, can you validly put it into the corral in order to be recounted towards the Maaser Behema? That's the nature of the question over here. Because like regular kodoshim, they're not qualified for anything, even though they have kedushat haguf. They have to wait for the Mizbeach. The Bechor also has to wait for the Mizbeach, when it's already kadosh with kedushat Bechora. And the question is, by Maaser, is it being kadosh sufficient to allow you to bring it into the corral, or do you have to wait until it's roi the mizbeach in order to bring it into the corral? And that would be the nature of the question based on that Tosafot in Tmura. What's also clear is by Bechor, it does work. Bechor is kadosh mirechem. Bechor is kadosh at birth. So then the 7 day and 8 day numbers are meaningless for Kedusha because it's born kadosh. Now you may not be able to bring a Bechor until the 8th day on the mizbeach, but as far as Kedusha is concerned, it's kadosh mihatkala. The question is, by Maaser Behema, which model is it going to follow? Is Maaser Behema going to follow the model of Bechor? Which means that from the moment it is born, it's ra'oi to go in the corral and can be nitkadesh by Maaser Behema. Or is Maaser Behema similar to a kodoshim, whereby you can't put it into the corral until 8 days have elapsed? That is the nafkamina between them. Rabbi Shimon holds that you're allowed to put it into the corral from the day it's born. Therefore, I can have all these scenarios play out because I don't have to wait 8 days before I put it in. And that means I can have either the daughters and granddaughters in the same year, or according to the other version, the grandmother, the daughters and the granddaughters all in the same year. They all can get into the corral because from the day it's born, it's ra'oi to go into the corral and be counted towards Maaser Behema. Tanakama disagrees and says that you have to wait the requisite 8 days, and therefore there's no way either the daughters and granddaughters could be in the same year, or there's no way that the grandmother, daughters and granddaughters could be in the same year because you need an extra 7 days of buffer, which we don't have. We don't have that play anymore, and there's no way that you can get it into the year. And the Gemara says, Vatanya. And we have a bright of an ichuta, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Mechusar Zman Nichnas Ledir Leitaser. We see that Rabbi Shimon Yehuda brings Rabbi Shimon's opinion that for Maaser Behema, you can enter into the corral from the day it's born. Varihain ki Bechor. And he explicitly says it's because it's exactly like a Bechor. Ma Bechor Kadosh lifnei zmano. Just like a Bechor becomes Kadosh before the 8 days, because it's Kadosh mirechem. V'karev lachar zmano. It can only be put on the Mizbeach after the 8 days. So as far as hakravan Mizbeach, it has to be Mishriyom HaShmini V'Hala. But as far as the extra din of that, you're not allowed to make it into a korban during that time, The Bechor is not subject to that. So too, Af Mechuzer Zman Kadosh, the Beis Manova, Karev Dachar Zmano. So too, by Maaser Behema, it is Kadosh before the 8 days, but you will only put on the Mizbeach after the 8 days. So Maaser Behema is like Bechor, not like regular Kodoshim. Vad Yolif Mi Bechor, Nelif Mi Kodoshim. Why are you learning from Bechor? You can learn from Kodoshim. How do you know to use the paradigm of Bechor for Maaser rather than the paradigm of Kodoshim? Stabra mi Bechor, it makes more sense to compare Maaser Behema to Bechor, Havalei the Melech Shekein, because they have these common denominators between them. Goel, Mum, Tmurat, Achila. So let's go through them. Goel, neither of them can be redeemed. Not Maaser Behema, not Bechor. There is no redemption process for them. That is because when they get a mum in them, Nechal b'mumah. They are eaten with their mum. There is no redeeming. Mum. They both have this common denominator, which was the Mishnah that we saw earlier, which is that if they are born with a mum in them, they still have Kedusha, which means that if the mum precedes the Kedusha of the Bechor, the Kedusha of the Bechor still devolves upon an animal with a mum in it. Maaser Behema, when they exit the corral, you don't check if it has a mum or doesn't have a mum. Whatever exits the corral goes out. If it had a mum, doesn't matter, it's kadosh b'maaser behema. On the other hand, with regular kodoshim, if the mum came before the hekdesh, you can't attain kedushat haguf. That's exactly what the Mishnah said, that when mum came before hekdesh sham, then they don't have kedushat haguf. Chutz mibechor u'maaser. Those are the two exceptions to the rule. Tmura. There tmura is different. Tmura of other kodoshim are mukrav al gabei ha-mizbeach. They end up on the mizbeach. Tmurot of Maaser and Bechor, they are eaten. They have to wait to get a mum in them, and then they are eaten b'muman, or we saw before the possibility that they might have to be meita, depending on what the status of the original Bechor and Maaser is before the Tmura was done. The last one is Achila. The common denominator between them is that, as Rashi says over here, Nechalim b'muman, that they are eaten b'muman. Now, Tosafot doesn't love that because that sounds like the same as Goel, the first thing that we said, that they're not redeemed because they are Nechalim b'muman. So then, the fact that they're not redeemed is because Nechalim b'muman, and then you have two items that seem to be the same. So if you see, Tosafot says, Perish b'kutshish, Nechalim b'muman below pidyon, Tzakasha, ha michlal Goel hu. It's the same thing as Goel then. So, v'nir l'farish, dimishuneh achilata misharp sule mukdashim, the achila means the process by which they're eaten. Suleim mukdashim, when they're used and eaten, they can be sold in the regular marketplace. They can be sold like a regular butcher sells meat because the proceeds go to Hekdesh. And therefore we allow you to be mevazeh, in a sense, the suleim mukdashim for the benefit of Hekdesh. That's not true of the Bechor and the Maaser. When they have a mum in them and you want to sell them, if you want to bring them to the butcher shop to sell them or sell them meat, you can't do it in the regular manner. It's not permitted to do that because the beneficiary are the Baalim or the Kohen and not Hekdesh. And he says, Umidoraitahi. And that distinction is a din deoraita. So that's how Tosfot explains the Achila as being distinct from the Goel. Rashi obviously is saying that, yes, maybe they're two sides of the same coin, but they are differences. You can't redeem them. And Nechalim b'muman. It could be that the two are separate. It happens to be that the one almost precipitates the other. The fact that Nechalim b'muman, there is no pidyon. But there are separate issues. One is you can't redeem them. Number two is a Nechalim b'muman. So that's Rashi's view. Where it says, Adarabba, mikodoshim avalei demelef. You should learn Maaser Behema from kodoshim. Shekein. They have these commonalities between them. And obviously we're speaking about kodoshim that are shlamim over here, similar to the Maaser Behema. Because these overlap, or these common denominators, are true by Shlamim, not necessarily true by all Korbanot. Zachar, a Bechor, can only be a male. Kodoshim and Maaser Behema can be males or females. Kadosh, the Bechor is Kadosh Mirechem. Maaser Behema and Kodoshim have imposed Kedusha. You have to be Mekadesh them. Bematanot. Rashi explains over here, Bematanot means they are a part of Matanot Kihuna. The Bechor is part of the Matnot Kuhuna that goes to the Kohen. Kodoshim and Maaser Behema, which are Shlamim, belong to the Baalim. So that's another distinction. It's a somewhat precarious because the parts of the Shlamim do end up going to the Kohen, but the Ikar of the animal belongs to the Baalim, as opposed to by Bechor, where the Ikar is a part of the Matnot Kuhuna. Pashut. The Bechor is only the firstborn. Maaser Be'ema, or a regular Kodeshim, can be any of the animals. Ella, Rabbi Shimon, Havara, Havara, Gamir. He learns out the Gzer Shava of Havara, which is by Maaser Be'ema. It says, Kodeshim Yavor, Tachat HaShavet. And by the Bechor, it says, Vavarta Peter Rechem. So that Gzer Shava of Havara, Havara, teaches you that Maaser is learned from the Bechor. Now the truth is, we have another Gzer Shava, which is Tachat Tachat. It says, Kol Yashir Yavor Tachat HaShavet by Maaser Be'ema. And then it says, by the regular Kodeshim, Shivat Yamim Yeh Tachat Imo. And we have a Gzer Shava of Tachat Tachat. So Tosfot says, V'af Agav Deikah LeMeilah, not Mi Tachat Tachat Mi Kodeshim. You have a Gzer Shava there as well. So he says, nevertheless, M'hakal Inyan Kiddush, Shayach LeMeilah Tfei Mehavara. He says, here where we're speaking about being Mikadesh, the animal, Havara is a better Gzereshava. The Mashma Kol Asher Yavor Tachat HaShavet Lashon Kiddush. So he says that is the sanctification of the animal, and that's the same thing about Vatar Kol Petar Kol Rechem. Whereas Tachat Tachat is not about the Kiddush of the animal, that's talking about the qualifications of the animal. So tell us what it says, the Gemara favors the Gzereshava of Havara Havara, because topically they're about the same thing, which is being Mekadesh the animal, versus Tachat Tachat that does not have that commonality between them. And since here we're speaking about Kiddush of the animal, we thought that that would be the better Gzer Shava to lean on. All right. Heichi Dami Tinu. Now, after we've gone through all of this, the Gemara wants to know, what exactly is this Tinu? It says that a Siman by Behema Taka for a miscarriage is, or a birth, is Tinu. What exactly is this Tinu that we are saying over here? Amar Rova. Over here, the Girsa we have is Rova, but if you look in the Rosh, Ita Rav. The Rosh has Rav as the Girsa, and so does the Shita Mekubetzet have the Girsa as Amar Rav, which is interesting based on the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin, whereby Rabbi Chiya is trying to get Rav, Smicha, from Rabbi, and they're having a hard time doing it, and it's not working out. And then, one of the things that they discuss over there is why Rabbi will not give Smicha to Rav for Bechorot. Which is, you have Yoreh, Yoreh. Yadin, Yadin. There's a third one, which is Matir Bechorot. That he's allowed to be Matir Bechorot, which is a qualification for a Chacham to be Matir Bechorot, is to say that this is a mum that will allow the Kohen to eat the Bechor and not have to take it up to the Mikdash and put it on the Mizbeach. Over there, it says that one of the reasons Rabbi did not give that Smicha to Rav is either because he wanted to differentiate him from someone else, or the other reason is that Rav was such an expert at being matir b'chorot, that he would be matir things that people wouldn't understand why he was matir them, and they would come to make mistakes by extrapolating what he said. And the Gemara there discusses that Rav went to live with a bunch of shepherds for a number of months or years in order to learn exactly about these mumim and learn about the b'chorot. So that would make sense now for some of Rav over here, because he's an expert in these issues of animals. So that just as an aside, maybe if the Girsa is Rav, it would make sense. Kidamre, like people say, Reuta Ditzilta Atzar Chiyuta. So again, this is cryptic in nature, but the way that we'll explain it is Reuta Ditzilta. The Ro'eh, when he sees a mucousy discharge or some discolored item that is emanating from the animal. In the word Siluta over here, or Tzilta, would be like the word shade. So you have a murky substance that comes out. Atzar chiyuta, as Rashi explains over here, atzar chiyuta is, that comes from the contraction of the womb of the animal, which then crushed the baby, or caused a miscarriage, or the discharging from the animal. That's the basic idea of what's in here. You have some murky liquid discharge from the animal that's hanging out of the animal, or coming out of the animal, that's an indication of a miscarriage. Shmuel amar, babuye de dama. Bubbles of blood, or in essence, it's having blood discharges. It's having these bubbles or things that are discharging that have blood in it. That's an indication of tinuf. Vitzarich laroto lechacham, and you have to show it to a Talmud Chacham. It says this is a great question in the Gemara because it speaks to the Gemara's perspective on expertise. Chacham mina yada. Talmud Chacham is not going to have a clue what's coming out of the animal. Talmud Chacham is in the Beit Midrash. He's not looking at animals. He has a clue what's coming out of an animal. What are you taking him to a chacham for? He's not going to tell you. It's like getting medical advice from a chacham. He doesn't know medicine. He's not a veterinarian. He's not going to be able to tell you what's coming out. Samar Papa, Roech Chacham. You have to take it to an expert shepherd, or you could say it's a Roech Tamid Chacham, but it has to be someone who has expertise in the field. Without expertise in the field, they can't opine on what's being discharged from this animal. So the Gemara acknowledges here that you have to go to people with expertise in order to check this out. Amrei Rav Chista, Hari Amru, Yitzirat Avlad Bishar Bayim Yom. We have a principle that it takes 40 days before after conception for the fetus to start taking form. And that is important. Halach Nafkaminot, which means that after 40 days, already it gets a classification of a fetus. Before 40 days, it does not have a classification of a fetus. But that's the threshold in human beings. And by any shah, less than 40 days, it would not be poter for a bechor. And it also is not metameh tumat leida. It's only after that threshold of 40 days. By Rav Chista, bebeima pekama. In animals, where is that threshold? Amalei Rav Papa le'abaye, lav hainu deziri. Isn't that what Ziri said? That you need a 30-day window between the time of a miscarriage and the next pregnancy. Damar Ziri, entinuf pachot mishloshim yom. That zinuf lasts for 30 days. So his assumption is that actually the animal can come out pregnant or conceive right away. It's just that the vlad does not take hold until 30 days later, and then you have the gestation of the 5 months. So that's his assumption as to what Ziri is speaking about. The answer to that is, how lekabel itmar? You're making a mistake here. You're misunderstanding Ziri. Ziri is not about conception can happen immediately, and then there's a 30-day window until it's a fetus. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that it doesn't allow itself to be mounted for 30 days. There's no conception until 30 days later. That's what the gap is. But that doesn't tell you how long from conception until when is it classified as a fetus. And the Gemara leaves this as an unanswered issue. It does not come to a conclusion as to what that framework or threshold is by a behema. Matzinu lokeach me'oved kochavim. So this goes back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah speaks about purchasing from a non-Jew. When you purchase from a non-Jew, and now the animal is giving birth, we had the machloket in the Mishnah, and then later on in the Braita, as to the threshold, meaning that how old is the animal. And then based on how old the animal is, that will then determine whether this is or isn't a firstborn. Or according to others, it doesn't matter. Age is not a relevant factor. Either we're choshish d'miut, or we weigh things not based on age, but based on whether we know or don't know. So that's true when you purchase from a non-Jew. Lokeach mi'Yisrael mai. What happens if you buy from a Jew? Does that change the dynamic when you do that? Amarav b'chor vadai. If you buy from a Jew, it's certainly a b'chor. Demi'ita de bichra, because had it given birth beforehand, ishtebuche have mishtabachle, he would have been praising his merchandise based on that. Rashi says over here, ve'ein tzarichol detain bladal kohen, that he's going to say to him, listen, it had its bechor already. You're free now. To all the animals that come after this point in time are yours. So then he would have been talking up his merchandise and saying that this was already bichra. The fact that he didn't do that, that's already evidence of the fact that there wasn't a bechor born, and therefore whatever's born now is a bechor vadai. That's how Rav says it. Tosafot is a little more circumspect about that. He brings the Perush HaKuntres, and he says, nah, shekvar bechra, one explanation is, shlo tistakein od. It won't be in danger. Meaning that if the animal gave birth once and survived, that's an indication this animal has the capacity to give birth, and that means that that's something worth speaking about, because that would be something that you would praise your merchandise with is, it's a healthy animal, it already gave birth once, now you don't have to worry about it dying in childbirth. Or according to the Rabbeinu Gershom, it means that this animal is capable of having children, meaning that's a productive animal, and that's what he's being mishtabukai about. Aval, ovei kuchavim, so why can't the non-Jew? According to Rashi, you understand why the Jew says not the non-Jew, because the Jew understands the issue of bechor. The non-Jew does not understand the issue of Bechor, because that's a unique aspect that a Yisrael would have a perspective on that the Goy would not have a perspective on. According to Bai Tosafot, where it's a practical issue, which is, now we won't die in childbirth, then the Goy could tell you that same information. It says, we can't trust him. Meaning that he doesn't have nemanut with regards to these items. Is only true by a Jew. It's not true by a non-Jew. So he doesn't have any nemanut with regards to saying it's a bechor. And even if he's Mesiach Lifi Tumo, which in other situations we say if he's not coming to testify, he just happens to mention it, not in a form of testimony, but just stum, he mentions it in conversation, then you can believe him because he's not trying to testify, he's just mentioning it in passing. Over here, you can't believe him because he has a vested interest in saying it. Because he's going to say it, even if it's not true, because it makes his product a better product, and he'll sell it at a higher price. So you can't believe him here at all. Ushmol Amar, b'chor safek. It's a safek. Even though he didn't mention it, it's still a safek because Savar l'shkita kabayle. He thought you were buying it for its meat. He didn't think you were keeping it around to produce offspring with it. So he doesn't tell you about it because you're not going to pay more because it gave birth already. That doesn't change the factor or the pricing of this animal. It's not relevant to you if you're going to do shkita, and therefore it's a b'chor misafek. Rav Yochanan amar chulin vadayin. It's completely chulin. My time up. Imita de lo bichra, had it not had a b'chor, gave it to Ike Isura, Oduye Havimodile. Since now, when he gives birth afterwards, it'll be a b'chor and there's an Isur involved, he's worried about Lifnei Iver, Lotitein Mikshon. And therefore, the seller takes seriously his responsibility to tell you that it didn't have a b'chor. It's the opposite of Rav. Rav says that he would have told you if it was had a b'chor, because that would have raised the price of the animal. So the fact that he didn't tell you is evidence that it didn't have a b'chor. Yochanan says the other way around. The fact that it had a b'chor is something that he won't tell you about. If it didn't have a b'chor, he definitely will tell you because he doesn't want to be accountable for the Lifnei Iver Lo Titein Mikshol to cause you to be in violation. The goy doesn't know there's any violation. Doesn't know about the Isur at all. Therefore, he's not going to speak about a b'chor because he doesn't care whether you know or don't know that it's a b'chor. The Jew will let you know. And therefore, it's chulin gemurim according to Rabbi Yochanan. And the Rabbi Balei Tosafot say, ubalachot gudolot pasak Rabbi Yochanan. Bahag Paskins like this view of Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya Kavate de Rabbi Yochanan. We have a bright that supports Rabbi Yochanan's contention here. Tamar chulin im lo hodio. If he didn't inform him, he can go ahead and shecht, and he doesn't have to hold back. Meaning that if there's no information passed, completely chulin, exactly like what Rabbi Yochanan said. Why isn't that problematic for Rav and Shmuel? Rav and Shmuel, Rav who said that it's vaday b'chor, Shmuel that said it's a safek b'chor, the Brayta is telling us that it's chulin gemurin. Mar says, Hatam v'mocher ta'yamilta hacha b'lokeach ta'yamilta. Little thing, we didn't mention to you that that Brayta is not speaking about a case of b'chor. That Brayta is speaking about the case of oto v'ed b'no. That was what we saw earlier in chulin, which is that when a butcher sells you an animal, as we learned in chulin, that there are 4 days a year where there's a responsibility for the mocher to tell you this information, because those are days where people are expected to shecht, because they are days that are heavy in meat consumption or in preparations for the upcoming holidays, and therefore there's an obligation of the mocher to inform the buyer of the fact that he already sold the mother or the daughter on that day. You don't have to assume he sold the daughter or the mother on the same day, and you can shecht it without any problem. Because the mocher would have told you had he sold the mother or had he sold the daughter on that day. Burden lays with the seller. And therefore, he would have informed you had he done such. And that's what that Braita is speaking about. And that's why over there, the burden is on the mocher. And if the mocher doesn't tell you that information, you can go and shecht it freely. That's not true over here. Because, hotam b'mocher ta'yamilta. Hacha b'lokeach ta'yamilta. Over here, the burden is on the buyer. The burden's on the buyer because he's going to be the one who has the b'chor in his possession. So he's the one that needs to investigate the matter and figure out whether the b'chor is going to have a b'chor or not going to have a b'chor. So the burden's on him. So therefore, if the mocher doesn't say anything, there's no evidence from that. He needs to ask. Whereas in the case of oto b'ed b'no, it's only the seller that has the information, and therefore the obligation's on him to disclose the information. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's all the same. It's mocher's responsibility all the way along. If mocher doesn't say anything, you can assume that everything's free and clear. Rav and Shmuel differentiate. By oto b'ed b'no, the burden is on the mocher. By the case over here, by b'chor, the burden is on the lokeach. Now, even that isn't so clear, and Tosafot notes that already. Hatam b'chor ta'yamilta, shildeya mocher b'lokeach shekoneh l'shkot, bover b'lo'av l'ifnei iver in ilmodiyo. The mocher is going to be responsible for l'ifnei iver. If he doesn't say anything, the lokeach lo yibayla l'suken datish mechar yimal bita. Why should lokeach even think that he sold the mother or the daughter on that day? He has no concept of what is there. Therefore, there's a higher burden on the mocher. Whereas here, by the lokeach, shalav lachor b'rimto ki hi chayevet b'chorah. The responsibility is on him because he's the one who's going to have the b'chor in his possession. And since it's going to be in his possession, he's the one that needs to investigate it. Not that there's no leaf nehi there. For the seller, that still exists. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says they're the same case. Both of them have a leaf nehi there aspect, therefore the burden's on the mocher. Rabbi and Shmuel say, well, it really depends on who has the information or needs the information. The mocher is the only one with the information. In the case, by the case of Behemah Bechor, the Bechor is going to be in the possession of the Lokeach. He's the one that needs to search for the information and look up the information. Therefore, the burden's on him, not on the Mocher. Next Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Behemah Gatsa. If you have a large animal, Sheshafah Charat Dam, that released a big chunk of coagulated dam, Harizut Tikaver, you have to bury it, Upturah Min HaBechorah, and the next animal that's born afterwards will not be a Bechor. I mean, that we assume that this is the Bechor, and that's why you have to bury it, because it was Kadosh B'Bechorah, can't get Hanah from it, you have to bury it, but that discharge, that miscarriage, will be then the discharge of the obligation vis-a-vis Bechor. The next animal that's born will not be a Bechor. Tani Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Brighton Rabbi Chia, Enu Mitama, Lo B'Magav, Lo B'Masa. That Charat Dam that was discharged, it doesn't have Tuma associated with Tumat Nevela, that would be associated with it. So therefore it's not Mitame B'Maga, not Mitame B'Masa. Umechar De Enu Mitama, Lo B'Magav, Lo B'Masa. If it's not Tame B'Maga Masa, Amai Tikaver, then why would you bury it? Meaning that if you think it is a Bechor, and therefore you're burying it because that's Kedushat Bechor, then why doesn't it also then have Tumat Magamasa? Because whatever you're burying, then you classify as a Vlad. If you classify it as a Vlad, you've discharged the obligation versus the Bechorah, and you have to bury it, then it should also have Tamei Tumat Nevela. If you think it doesn't have Tumat Nevela, then why is it good enough to discharge the obligation vis-a-vis a Bechorah? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. It seems to be that this is an inconsistency. How could it be that it's not Tamei, and you still have to bury it? My answer is, in order to make it public that it is patur min habechorah, you have to make a big deal to show that the animal that's born afterwards is not going to have to do shat bechor, and people won't be suspicious of why he didn't give it as a bechor, or someone who buys the animal will know that it already had a bechor. B'memra, the vlad ma'al yahu. So then you're saying that it is considered or classified as a vlad. V'amayinu matameh, lo b'magav, lo b'masah. If again, if you're burying it in order to make it public that it is a Bechor, that means you think there was a Vlad over here. If there is a Vlad over here, why aren't you Mitameh B'Magah Masah? Just brings it back, the question, to the other direction, which is if you're treating it like a real Bechor and it's a Vlad, then why isn't it Mitameh B'Magah Masah? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Bito Berov Naguba. That is because the Nevela is subsumed in a row of items that are not Tmeim. Baz Rabbi Yochanan the Tamei, and Rabbi Yochanan is Lishitato. Tamar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon Amruta Barakat. Lezer ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon are of the same position. Lezer ben Yaakov had Amran. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is what we just discussed in our Mishnah, that it's not Mitamei B'Magal Masah, but it is classified as a Vlad for Bechor. Rabbi Shimon, Mahi, where do we find Rabbi Shimon has a similar view? It's not Hashuyah, Babayit, Habayit Tamei. If the woman has a miscarriage or a discharge of a placenta or an afterbirth, then the bayit is Tamei. Lo shashilya vlad, not because the placenta or the afterbirth is a vlad, that's just not the case. El shein shilya below vlad. But the issue is that whenever you have a placenta and afterbirth comes out, there had to be a vlad somewhere along the way. Rabbi Shimon Omer, vlad nimok ad shelo yitze. That the vlad already disintegrated or dissolved before it came out. Or in essence, what Rabbi Shimon says is that there is no tuma over here. And the reason is, as Rashi says over here, bitol berov. Since the vlad was dissolved into the other discharges that come out along with the vlad, the other items like the shoya, the placenta, the liquid, the dam, all the stuff that's coming out, that's not tamei. They overwhelm the vlad that is being miscarried or discharged over here, and therefore it's bato berov, and the tuma does not exist. So yes, they would agree if there was a vlad here, there would be a problem, but the vlad here is batel berov. And since it's batel berov, there is no tuma. That brings us to the conclusion that it is a vlad vis-a-vis bechor to discharge your obligation of bechor, but that blood does not have enough significance to make it tamei because it's now overwhelmed by the other items that are being discharged, and it's batel berov the tuma, and that's why there's no tumat maga umasa over here. Now, even though the Gemara in Chulin says that a animal that's giving birth for the first time that had a placenta that came out, you can throw it to the dogs. Mishum, because over there you can be somech on the fact that an animal has a 50-50 shot that it gave birth to a male or a female. If it's a female, it's not kadosh b'bechora. And the other possibility is that it had a miscarriage and there's no vlad here at all. So if I take the miut of animals that miscarry, plus the 50% of animals that have females, the majority of animals have something that is not kadosh b'bechora. And therefore, the Gemara in Chulin says you can throw it to the dogs to eat. The Tosfot says, why over here are we burying it then? Why are we worrying about Hana'ah? He says, that's the answer. Ha'cha shayni, kedem b'farish megemara. Here it's different, because kedem l'farsama sh'betura mina b'chura. Because over here you want to show or indicate that it's betura mina b'chura. And therefore, because based on what Rabbi Chia says it's batel berov. If it's batel berov, then why do you have to bury it at all? Just like batel berov makes it that it's not tamei, but Batel Barov should also make it that there is no ishtia with regards to Kedusha over here. The answer to that is Kedei Lefartsema. That's why we need the burials in order to make it a public ishtia, even though technically it doesn't require a burial. Okay, we're going to stop here with the two dots on the top of Chafet Amud Aleph.